to another edition of the Hot Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Ernest Christian. Once again, first off, visit the site at hothoops.com, number one. Follow me on Twitter at edixon7. You can follow the site as well, too. All the information of Miami Heat basketball, analysis, opinions, all that at Hot Hoops on Twitter. This is actually going to be a game two preview here in a second. But first, I want to get to something really, really important that's been going on nationally in terms of the story of Chris Bosh and the Miami Heat. We finally got some, at least for the time being, an amicable decision between both parties. As you know, it's been leaked out the last couple of weeks that Chris Bosh has indeed wanted to play during this playoff run, and the Heat have been preventing Chris Bosh from playing because I guess it's concerns about his health and you know whatnot. And obviously, there's been a lot of stuff being put out there on Twitter by both parties in terms of the narrative and whatever. But the bottom line is this, though, is I think what most Heat fans want at the end of the day. I think Heat fans and they wanted I guess that's what's a distraction. And I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think where it really matters in terms of the players, I don't think it was a distraction necessarily. If anything, Chris Bosh's presence in the locker room and on the sidelines of these games have actually been a blessing in a lot of ways. But I do think, the fact that for the time being, the team and Bosh can at least put this to the side. The situation about whether he wants to play, him wanting to play and whatnot. That's something I think at this point needed to happen, and I'm sure everybody's glad that at least for the time being we got some sort of clarity from both parties. The statement that the Heat released on Chris Bosh is as follows: "Quote, the Heat and Chris Bosh announced that Chris will not be playing for the remainder of the 2016 NBA playoffs. The Heat, Chris, the doctors, and medical team have been working together throughout this process and will continue to do so to return Chris to playing basketball as soon as possible." Obviously, when we move through this process, there's going to be a lot of speculation about what's the next step, salary cap implications. Will Chris Bosh retire? We heard recently that Chris Bosh, as indeed, does not intend to retire at all. In fact, he wants to come back and play as soon as possible. So there's a lot of things that's gonna be a priority, a story, and definitely this saga's not over. But at least right now, for the time being, at least right now, the Heat, Bosh, and the Heat fan base, at least for the time being, could not put this situation behind them. I'm really hoping right now that Chris Bosh can speak out on his own. I mean, maybe at a presser tomorrow in Toronto, maybe down here at American Airlines Arena when they play Game 3 and 4 against the Toronto Raptors. But for the time being, at least this story that's been such a cloud over this team for the last 2 months since the All-Star break when this actually happened. At least for the time being, you can put it behind them right now. Like I said, I don't think it's a distraction. I don't think it's a distraction for it matters. Like, maybe a distraction to fans, and maybe a distraction to maybe a story to other people outside this market. But I don't think Chris Bosh and this situation that's just an overplayed narrative. Honestly, I think people just look for something to talk about, and I get that. But at least, and obviously there's other things involved in this, but from where I stand on this, obviously, I've been steadfast on my idea that, Chris Bosh, this is the second occurrence in 2 years. I know it's not the same as last year, the lung. It wasn't the lung, it was in the calf this time, but still, there's still risks. And I like the fact that he are looking over his behalf, looking out for the best of his health and his life first, before anything else. Obviously Chris Bosh will be a vital player to the Heat's playoff run if he could come back. You don't think the Miami Heat would want him back to begin with? Of course they want him back. Chris Bosh is arguably the best player on this team, and the most versatile player on this team. Chris Bosh would be nothing but a necessity to the Miami Heat if he were to come back. So to say that the Heat don't want to play for a reason, I would say is ludicrous, because if anything, He'd be a benefit to the Miami Heat right now, and certainly another weapon in the Toronto series, and definitely if they play Cleveland in the conference finals. So I don't think there's really any shenanigans going here more than the Heat looking out for Bosh. But like I said, there's other things that we aren't in the know, and I don't want to speculate on that stuff. For the time being, right now, at least for the time being, at least until this season's over, the Heat and Bosh could put us behind them. And I'm happy about that. Other news today, too, that came out recently, and I actually did a piece on this on HotHoops.com. Check it out if you get a chance. LeBron James You know, there's a lot of, obviously, the Heat up being 1-0 now, and now the Cavs are up 2-0 in their series. By the way, the Cavaliers were absolutely, I mean, there's no words to describe that performance last night. 24 three-pointers in the game against the Hawks, game two. That game was over before he started. But there's, obviously, there's a growing sense nationally. It's a growing sense right now that Cavs Heat conference final is inevitable. And while I think that's what I picked before the playoffs started, and a lot of people feel that is going to be the case going forward, you know, I want to, you know, at least give Toronto some respect for number one, you know, at least to see if Miami win game two first before we start harping those narratives. Now, however, that is what people are talking about, and we can't control we can't control the narrative. So I'm not going to go ahead and pretend that it's not out there. It's out there. It's prevalent. And even LeBron James, you know, acknowledged it recently. You know, today, even he acknowledged it at his post game, you know, at his pregame presser rather, before tip off today. It was actually during practice that he acknowledged this. That basically, you know, I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically saying that he's always wanted to, you know, to face Dwayne Wade in a playoff series. And it's actually, and I wrote in my piece today on HotHoops.com, check it out, that it is surprising that LeBron and Dwayne Wade, you know, they've both been in the league 13 years, and they've had 9 seasons where they have not been on the same team. And yet, 9 years, neither Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, 2 guys, 1 championships, you know, 2 guys that have made deep playoff runs, have never played a single series together against each other in the playoffs. It is kind of shocking. It is really shocking, to be honest with you. But you know, like I said, I think, you know, the respect factor really more than anything else. I think you know Miami won a huge game against Toronto game one, albeit the ending was very sloppy. But it does seem like that we're heading for a Cavs Heat conference final. And I'll tell you what, there was a sense of, you know, coming to the year and certainly through the season that pretty much it was a 3-team race, and, you know, between the Cavs, you know, the Warriors and the Spurs. And really, to be honest, the best series to look forward to really was probably in the Western Conference, whether it was Golden State, San Antonio, or Golden State versus, you know, Oklahoma City, depending on what plays out there. But I tell you what, I'll tell you, if the Heat and Cavs do play in the conference finals, and look, we're actually a combination of 5 wins away from this happening. We're not that far off from this. Like, this is actually could be a reality. It's sort of the Heat win game two. If they win games in Toronto, come back home, where they've played, they are a much better team home than on the road. They've shown that in the playoffs throughout the regular season. If they can beat Toronto in game two, and take a stranglehold of the series and come back to Miami up 2-0, then it will get louder. Because, look, Atlanta Hawks, very good team, very talented. I like them. They might get – I don't even know if they get 1 game out of the Cavaliers, to be honest with you. I don't know if they – their best chance to make the Cavs series competitive, they lost that in the first game. You know, when they came back in the game, had a little bit of a 1-point lead, 2-point lead – They lost the opportunity because you know Cleveland tonight, last night rather, but you know it was done. Game two was done. They blew them out. That's it. Period. Game over. So if Miami were to win game two and take a 2-0 stranglehold, I think the Cav Heat, you know, narratives will get louder and louder and louder. And like I said, and people making a big deal about the comment, you know, about LeBron looking forward to it, like as though he's looking ahead. It's not a big deal. Who cares, you know? And I think what's been missing in the comment, because people are so laser focused on just LeBron saying I'm looking forward to his team playing the Heat as though it's guaranteed. Which, by the way, at this point, I mean, come on. But still, it was more so addressing the idea that he's looking forward to playing as Dwayne Wade, his friend. Okay, and by the way, they are friends. They're great friends. It's not going to change. Heat fans get over it. Period. It was nothing but innocuous comment, and we all need to get over that fact. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, like I said, if the Heat do their job, the Cavs doing their job, obviously, we're going to get that conference final. We're going to get that. And I think that might be just as – even though Spurs and Warriors have been, like, the thing we're looking forward to all year long, I think Heat and Cavs, just because of the storylines, you know, will be just as entertaining. And I'll dare say – maybe even more entertaining considering the emotional side of it. You know, how will LeBron be received down in the playoffs in Miami, in the games in Miami? I mean, there's a lot of things to choose here. And I think that the NBA almost wants it. I think the NBA wants a Cavs Heat conference final. You're going to have, basically right now, the NBA right now, if the Heat and Cavs do make it to the conference finals in the East, the NBA is guaranteed a very, very interesting conference finals on both ends. Okay? So we'll get to that. But when we come back, we're going to address, we're going to look at game two. I'm going to say five things looking forward for game two and things the Heat need to do to take a 2-0 stranglehold on this Toronto series. When we come back. Podcast. I'm your host, Ernest Christian. Follow me on Twitter to get a chance, guys, at EJChristian7 or the website at hothoops.com or on Twitter at hothoops on Twitter, of course. Check it out. You know, chime in. Love to talk to you guys about more Heat basketball and about anything. You know, it's fun. Before we get going, want to discuss the five things I'm looking forward to game two that I think will assure the Heat have a commanding 2-0 series lead and bring the series back to American Airlines Arena on Saturday with a commanding lead. And for the record, this is what I think. I don't expect Miami to win this game, actually, to be honest with you. The goal here was the Heat to win 1-2, and they exhausted that immediately out the gate, winning game one. Once again, wasn't pretty at the end, but the win's a win, and the fact they were able to recover after the Lowry half-court shot says, you know, speaks really a lot of volumes on this, how mentally tough this team really is. But there are three things in this, five things rather, that I'm going to look at in game two that really I think are going to be key points that the Miami Heat will need to do in order to come away with a commanding 2-0 lead. First off, one of the things I didn't think would happen in this game, which happened throughout the game, was, you know, Jonas Valanciunas, Toronto center, really getting a lot of easy baskets. I mean, he had a lot of easy baskets. And we knew that was a key matchup. I said it on the podcast with David Mill a few days ago that the matchup between Whiteside and him was one of the tilting factors in the series, but not because of the scoring, more so because of what Whiteside availability on the court. I mean, if Valanciunas is as physical as he is, gets him frustrated, he can have him off the court, and therefore less time for Whiteside on the court. But I didn't expect Valanciunas to score 20-something points in this game. I mean, that's what I didn't count on. So one of the things the Heat, and I don't think this will be a trend moving forward, but I think the Heat need to make sure that Jonas Valanciunas does not get any easy baskets, first and foremost. Because there's a lot of cheap points they got early and late in that game that you know, Miami could have avoided. All right, number two, be aware of a possible Kyle Lowry breakout game. Because here's the thing, he's been struggling all playoff long. He's been struggling, and it's real. I don't know if it's the elbow, if it's bothering him. I don't know if it's the mental aspect, but he's trying. At some point, you have to be aware of it. Now, I'm not saying it will happen in game two. It may happen in game three. I don't know. It may not happen at all. But always be aware of the fact that Kyle Lowry, who's a starting all-star guard this year for the Eastern Conference, you know, in the all-star game, can have one of those games where if he plays great, this is a series again. Let's not get that twisted. If Kyle Lowry starts making shots, this is a series again. Because Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, that backcourt, if they're on the same page, they are tough to beat. I'm sorry. So just be aware of possible Kyle Lowry breakout game that could happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen in game two, but it's very possible. You never know. Just be aware of it. And basically treat Kyle Lowry still to this day, to every game, as though he is going to have a great game, you know? Because if it happens, the Heat could be in trouble. So be aware of that. Number three, paint points. Points in the paint. Not efficient there. And it's surprising the Heat won this game in spite of that. You know, they were not efficient in the paint. And one of the things that was concerning, you know, was the fact that, you know, if the Heat got a lot of easy baskets in the paint, you know, whether it be Dragic and Whiteside, whatever it be, you know, that this could be somewhere that he can actually turn this series on their end. And they weren't efficient in game one. There were a lot of easy misses there, a lot of floaters missed. But, like I said, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the Heat found out late Sunday night that they're playing game one in Toronto as opposed to playing at home against Indiana. So maybe the travel schedule may have screwed a little bit. Maybe they came on tired legs, which made what they did on Tuesday night more surprising and more impressive. So hopefully the Heat will figure out a way to, you know, get paint points, you know, going forward. And that's going to be very important. And if Whiteside gets his, if Dragic gets his, obviously, in the middle, you know, easy baskets always create opportunities for the Heat. So paint points, got to be efficient there. Number four, Goran Dragic needs to continue to stay aggressive and continue to be going downhill to the basket. And he's been phenomenal. And this turnaround really started not just game seven. This turnaround started game six in that third quarter when every time the Charlotte Hornets in that last series, the Hornets try to come back in the series, you know, come back in the game, Dragic had an answer. Before Wade closed the game out, you know, Lou Alding obviously gets a lot of credit for, you know, carrying bulk of the load in that game six. But Goran Dragic was a guy in that game six at Charlotte who you know, the Hornets at bay enough for Wade to close the game out. And he's been a monster since then. You know, scoring 26 points in game one against Toronto. And he was aggressive. And he's asked him hitting a shot, three-point shots too, 3 or 4 from three. But Dragic needs to continue putting pressure on that Toronto defense, putting pressure on Kyle Lowry. You know, if he does that, the Heat win game two. I think Dragic is the key to the series. If Dragic is scoring and doing his thing and creating and just being aggressive, being in focus and within the game, Miami goes up 2-0. They go up 2-0, and that's it. And there's no way to stop it because Dragic creates so much things. What he does helps everybody else in that roster. He is probably the key player in this entire series for the Miami Heat. So Dragic needs to stay aggressive and focused, and if he continues to do that, this Heat team can win this series very quickly. I mean, don't get it twisted. They could. And the fifth thing I'm looking at in game two is consistent bench contribution. I'm looking at the Rook 1, Rook 2, and Justin Winslow. Josh Richardson played decent in game one. You want to continue to see some of that. You want to see, you know, if Amari Stoudemire gets minutes. You know, he got minutes early in that game because of a scare on Whiteside. You know, you want to continue to see the bench, contribute in a big way. Joel Green, look, he's not scoring a lot of points. He's still inconsistent from the field, but he has been bringing a lot of energy to this team recently, you know. And like I said, as long as the bench, defensively especially, locks in and stays focused and gives minutes enough for the Wades and the Dangs and the Dragic, the guys who are carrying 38 to 40 minutes a game now, as long as the bench continues to plug in enough quality minutes for the starters to come in and close the deal, this Heat team will go up 2-0 on, you know, tonight. So those are the key points I'm looking at for game two. Once again, follow me on Twitter at EJChristian7, hothoops.com. We're going to try to do these podcasts, these little quickie podcasts, before each game, in between the games. As you know, the schedule now officially will be every other day. So game three will be on Saturday. Game four will be on Monday. We're going to try to do these schedule podcasts in between that. So, once again, Ernest Christian here. Talk to you guys later. Sign off and go Heat for game number two. Peace.